Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
I promise it was sheer coincidence, but the four shows I saw this week that I am discussing today have very strong women's voices, either behind them or are about them. Now, these are not on Broadway. That would still be somewhat of a miracle, though I did see one on Broadway, which I will discuss here next week. What was that called? Straight White Men. So, on to off-Broadway and on to the girls. Now, pardon the somewhat derogatory term, but the first show I saw is called This One's for the Girls. It's a small musical playing twice a week at St. Luke's on West 42nd Street. Written by Dorothy Marchick, it has been a hit in Florida, apparently, and now is slowly gaining traction here via word of mouth. What is the soundtrack of your life? Asks the narrator named Janet right up front. She and three other performers, all with great voices as well as comedic chops, proceed for the next 90 minutes to give us the history of women over the last century, along with songs that tell their story. Now, I confess this was the soundtrack of my life, having been a child of the 50s and later a semi-activist in the 60s and so on. You know, wanting to be Sandra Dee before wanting to be Gloria Steinem. Well, here I was again, singing along with everything from I Want to Be Bobby's Girl to R.E.S.P.E.C.T. Sure, it's a boomer-made show, but if you have daughters like mine who grew to appreciate, albeit laugh at, all those Johnnies, as in Johnny Angel and Johnny Get Angry, well, this will make for an ideal mother-daughter experience. If nothing else, they will enjoy the fact that their independent-minded feminist moms years before thought every time the phone rang, it must be him or I'll just die. The performers are Audrey Hefferman Meyer, Haley Swindle, Tracy Baer, and Anissa Folds, and they are all wildly talented. Meanwhile, down at the Soho Playhouse on Bandon Street, you can find Irish Women Right! Exclamation point. Now, I caught one of its offerings, an hour-long one-character piece called In It, as in none of your business, in it. The writer star director is one Colette Ford, aided by some nice projections. This, too, is a sort of coming-of-age piece, though with much less of a soundtrack. Kelly is a contemporary, confused teenager whose goals are to become a singer, get a belly button ring, and not have to see what she calls a psychologist. She spills out her angst with growing self-awareness. It's nicely done and should resonate with young girls well beyond Ireland, not to mention with their often frustrated parents. The next show is the latest addition to the prestigious public theater called Fire in Dreamland. It's written by Rennie Roth and directed by Marissa Wolfe, both respected in their fields. Now, I was not familiar with Groff's plays. They include The Ruby Sunrise and Compulsion. She's clearly a talent and writes some nice passages. There is so much to care about in America, but I never understood this obsession with hope, says one outsider. But I must say I found Fire in Dreamland confusing and ultimately tedious. It's a three-character piece which is about way too many things. History, comparing a fire in Coney Island in 1911 with Superstorm Sandy of 2013. It's also about the challenge of making a film without compromising, female empowerment, dreams, those who quit when the going gets tough, and more. Ultimately, what you come away with is the tour de force performance by Rebecca Naomi Jones. She is funny, beautiful, strong, and brave, and this is her play. At one point, she screams, "What would it be like to roar like that?" She is referring to an actual lion, and she proceeds to do just that, practically turning into the beast. I couldn't help but think back to This One's for the Girls, a totally different kind of a show, which concluded with the cast singing, "I am woman, hear me roar." But I digress, and I'm sure that's a comparison the public theater would not welcome. Finally, the one production I saw this week not written by a woman, and by the way, that includes straight white men, is called Mary Page Marlowe, and it is brought to us by the Second Stage Theater Company. This one definitely has created the most interest, mainly because it is written by Tracy Letts, the man behind August Osage County. Letts also won a Tony as an actor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and seems to be on every cable series these days. After seeing this play, I think I have concluded he is a better actor than writer. There are 18 performers in this play. Now, no nonprofit company would ever read a play with that many roles. But, well, Tracy Letts is a strong enough name, and the company was able to get actors like Tatiana Maslany of Orphan Black TV fame, as well as Blair Brown, Grace Gummer, and other well-respected actors to basically do a scene or two. Six women play Mary at different stages of her life in non-chronological order, which is neither here nor there. Frankly, while I found the often banal dialogue true to life, well, how many conversations do you have that seem worthy of being on a New York stage? Has for been there, seen that? Well, we have the abusive mother, the sexual harassment, the drug-addicted child, the alcoholism, the multiple divorces, the obligatory shrink scene, and so on. And yet, in the end, I don't feel we know any more about Mary than we did when it all began. I hate to say it, but this is a play about a woman that sounds like it was written by a man, which it was. That being said, it's only 90 minutes. It's always nice to watch Blair Brown, and I got to see the second Meryl Streep daughter in 2 weeks on stages on different coasts. I admire Tracy Letts, but I know he can do better than lines like, "What would your life be like if you were calling the shots?" and "Toughen up, the world is a mean old place." Well, Broadway itself is filled with ups and downs right now. A Bronx Tale is finally closing. The show has always amazed me. We've talked about it here. Middling reviews, no Tony nominations, half-price tickets for virtually every performance, but it endured for a couple of years. Speaking of nominations, the Tonys clearly had an impact. Now the band's Visit and Once on This Island are rarely listed at the discount ticket booths, and suddenly My Fair Lady is. That one surely hoped for one of the long runs in Lincoln Center, but I would no longer bet on that. The same is true for Carousel, which also lost out for Best Revival. SpongeBob SquarePants is another one closing after being virtually shut out at the Tonys. Angels in America just ended its run, but that was a limited engagement. Overall, it's a sleepy time right now. A few new ones gearing up, filmed musical adaptations and jukeboxes aplenty. And yes, many do feature women's stories. Don't forget Beautiful, Frozen, Hello Dolly, Mean Girls, My Fair Lady, Pretty Woman, Summer, as in Donna, Head Over Heels, that's about the Go-Go's, Waitress, and Wicked. Yet you'd be surprised how few have a female writer or director. So, as always, it's a good time to catch the small stuff off the main drag. Much of it right now, Jill, filled with stories of and largely by women.
So did you, when you take a step back and just look at the whole, how do you find the information that's being conveyed? Do you find it fresh?
No, not particularly. Not in the ones I saw this week. I can't say that, but on the other hand.
No, I'm just sort of interested. Yeah. Sometimes I think about, especially when we're talking about women, because In the present, obviously in the present, you're not looking at the past, you're looking at the present. But yes. History is, I should say littered, if you will. No, I should be. History has some very strong women going back to, long time.
Absolutely. And, that's what I liked about this little musical. This one's for the girls. It is constantly projecting everybody from, Rosa Parks to everybody.
I'm going back to Cleopatra, for example. And that's why I say history.
It's a big part of that one, which I appreciate, and it attempts to be a part, obviously, of Fire in Dreamland, because it does go back, and it is about trying to make a film about something that happened in history. Nothing to do with women per se. I don't know. Is there anything new you can say? Maybe, or you just find new ways of saying it. What I like about the ones I saw, I think, is that they do tend to stay on point. They don't only the musical one occasionally put up a projection of Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer, and kind of got it, even from the women in the audience, kind of got it, ooh. So, you know, that's not necessary, I don't think. I mean, I hope we can come up with original new stories to tell that imply all that stuff, you know?
And one last question, I always ask it as we get closer to technically the beginning of the season, because it quietly starts very soon. What are you most psyched about?
You know, I'm trying to think what's coming up. There is a new Kenny Lonergan play. I like his stuff. Lobby Hero was the most recent revise of his. But he does have I believe this is a new one coming. Has a really nice cast. Speaking of a great actress, Joan Allen is coming back to stage. It's been a while. I forgot Three Tall Women, but that's not on stage anymore. So that was another one this year about strong women, but written by a man. And that still is, to me, very interesting that if you look at the long list I gave you of those shows that are on Broadway now, I think really only two of them have a woman writer or director. That's not to say men can't write women great. Edward Albee certainly did, and a lot of other people did.
It is to say, however, that like as with so many things, this wants balance and context because... Yeah. There's absolutely room for an expansion of women writers, women directors, women from that standpoint, and you know that should not be taken lightly. By the same token, to say you are not, but to say or to claim that, well, if a man wrote it, they can't possibly know, you know, chucks out a fair amount of the written word over time.
Absolutely, you could never say that. But it's still rare that you see more directors, I'd say. Very few books written by women. Wicked was, that whole list, not many. But yeah, it's still something. But, you know, there's plenty of it out there now. And when I say out there, way beyond New York, too, that's being developed. And, you know, I don't think anybody would look at the Broadway list right now and say, oh, there aren't shows about women. There certainly are. And most people would consider this inside baseball, that we're talking about who directed something or who wrote it, you know. But I pay attention to those things. But anyway, an interesting time. I'm looking forward, I think, to the Kenny Lonergan show. And I'm trying to think of any other musicals. By the way, one more thing to say about the strong women thing. My Fair Lady, which we discussed, does have obviously they didn't change a word of it, but it does have a slightly skewed point of view now because of the Me Too movement. And you know what? It doesn't have it's not getting great reaction. It's not getting great word of mouth. I totally enjoyed it. People love the music, but there's something people are finding it bloodless, humorless, and it's not doing very well. And so, I don't know, maybe when you try to tinker too much with, you know, what was originally there, then nobody's going to come.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.